everybody, welcome to Save Your Sorry, the podcast where we discuss the rise and fall of your favorite, or rather, least favorite celebrities. I'm your host, Katrina Rochelle, here with my best friend and fellow co-host, Jose Angel. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Love that for you.
Thank you. But finally, celebrate me. Jeez.
Love you being happy.
Thank you. So this week, it is a Jose-led episode. He will be telling us about something, someone. What are we going to be talking about today?
You know, Katrina, I feel like you and I complement each other. We are like rice and beans or peanut butter and jelly, Beyonce yeah. and Kelly, or Kathy Bates and Alfie Woodard in The Family That Prays.
Ah, I'm Kathy?
I don't think so.
Oh, that hurt. Okay.
And I always feel so inspired after your episodes. Each time you do an episode, it just moves the gears in my brain for a different episode. So while this is a new standalone episode, I do feel like it will complement your, now this is what I call solar music episode.
Ooh, well, complimentary. I love a little complimentary episode. I love compliments. So keep it coming.
So without further ado, we are discussing singer and now musical judge, Robin Thicke.
Couldn't help yourself. All right.
I couldn't. And I don't know if you know this, but he was sued for copyright infringement for his popular song Blurred Lines by Marvin Gaye's Children and lost.
Are you serious? When the fuck did that happen?
I know. So I will briefly mention that later, but really to get more info on that aspect of it, please, listeners, refer to Katrina's wonderful episode.
Oh, okay. Thank God somebody talked about that. I'm so fucking worried.
So let's begin. Robin Charles Thicke was born March 10th, 1977, making him a Pisces. Out of the three water signs, I think I get along with Pisces the most, but at the end of the day, they're still a water sign, so you know.
Yeah, no.
Robin is the child of Alan Thicke, an actor who was mostly known for the show Growing Pains, and his mother was Gloria Loring, mostly known for being on the soap opera Days of Our Lives, and having a duet with Carl Anderson called Friends and Lovers, which peaked at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Friends and lovers. Friends and lovers.
Excellent rendition.
Thank you. I have to hear that song though now.
So Robin has one older brother named Brennan and a younger half-brother named Carter. And Robin is kind of a musical prodigy who taught himself how to play the piano when he was 12 years old. He said as a child, he spent a lot of time by himself and the piano was like a way to deal with loneliness and a way for him to connect with the world. By the time he was 14, he realized he could play songs just after hearing them on the radio, which I'm super jealous about that. I've had a guitar for like 3 months now, and I still don't know how to play anything.
It's hard when you're old to start to these instruments.
Yeah, that's why I started early.
Exactly. But that also sounds hard. That sounds low-key harder than just like learning the piano the regular way.
Playing it by ear.
Yeah, you're just playing by
those people.
Man, I could not. That is like prodigy level to me, of course. You're doing stuff like that.
Why the fuck do you have that much talent? Like, stop.
Man, sprinkle some for the rest of us.
I know. The talentless.
Damn. Yeah.
So at 14, he would form a group and they made a demo tape, which got the attention of singer and producer Brian McKnight.
The ain't shit godfather.
And Robin claims his father, Alan, refused to pay for the demo. While his parents supported his musical journey, they wanted him to finish high school before going into that career so soon. So one of the members' uncle paid for the demo, but when it got to Brian McKnight, it seems he just wanted Robin. And Brian helped Robin get signed to Interscope Records, and friends started jokingly calling Robin Brian McWhite.
Brian McWhite is hilarious.
Because, you know, he has that, like, soulful voice. That's how it's explained.
And he's white.
So he's at Interscope, and he's about 16 now, but his career is mostly behind the scenes. His first album would end up being strapped, and Robin says the songs weren't great. He is quoted as saying, "The label was willing to put it out, but there wasn't going to be a lot of promotional money behind it. So I said, let's shelve it."
I want wonder where is his family? Because I get it. You want him to finish high school, so you don't want to derail him too much. But first of all, you're Alan Thicke, so I know you got the money. Low-key, you got, I mean, may not have musical connections, but you got connections. So are you just letting your 16-year-old just like flow through and make all these decisions, or letting Brian McKnight make all these decisions for your son's music career? I think that's kind of also irresponsible of you as a father.
I think so, too. I mean, obviously, he got that connection to Brian McKnight through either his father or one of the other members. Like, I think they were all kind of Nepo babies. But, I mean, you have him saying when he's a child, he was spent a lot of alone time. So it's like, where was your father? I don't know.
Yeah, it's just those things you just always hear about these artists coming up with these so-called mentors. And then years later, like, well, yeah, a lot of shit happened, or I had to grow up real fast. And it's like, yeah, because no parents decided to be in the goddamn room.
Maybe. So some of the artists he worked with are Brian McKnight on the song Anyway, Brandy on the song Love Is On My Side, Christina Aguilera's When You Put Your Hand On Me, and Marc Anthony's song When I Dream At Night. By 17, he was able to move out with his producing and songwriting credits. So that's how he was making his money.
Must have been making something if you moving out at 17. 17? No training wheels? Oh, I cannot imagine.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, he's working with all these big names. I guess they weren't as big then, but still. I mean, some of them were. And it's like, they're just working with this kid.
Could you imagine us 17 just working and making beats and singing at the age we were doing? Would we be responsible enough?
No. Not at all.
No.
So while he's getting paid working behind the scenes, he wants to get his own music out there. So he decides he is not going to cut his hair until he hears his song on the radio. Well, his hair grows pretty long down to his shoulders, I think 3 years.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, he looked okay with it.
You think so?
At that time, he doesn't look like Robin Thicke to me, though.
No.
He looks handsome, yeah. Mm. I wouldn't say that now.
Okay. He does get an album out called A Beautiful World. Also, at this time, he's just going by the name Thicke, which I don't like.
That is a choice.
It is a choice. It's all a choice what he's doing.
Not you being 18, Thicke. Bro, sounds like you advertising something else. You need to be somewhere else.
Which I get, that's his last name, but at the same time, it's like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Should we go with Thicke or Brian McKnight?
That's where you should have went by. Thicke McKnight.
Once again, sounds like you're doing something else.
It does.
That's hilarious.
So his first single off the album was When I Get You Alone, which released on September
23rd, 2002. That's a good song.
Yeah. In the music video, he's just riding around on a bike with his long hair flowing. And it did well in Australia, Italy, and Belgium, being in the top 20 and top 10 in the Netherlands and New Zealand. Back here in the United States, he was getting more love from BET, and he had this to say: "It was the first time a white guy with long hair was ever on BET every day. And to be totally honest, BET supported me from the beginning. They played the video way more than any other outlet."
That's because we always loving people who don't love us back.
I wouldn't say he doesn't love you guys back.
No, I'm just talking about in general. Never mind, let me stop. I was about to go on a whole little like tangent, but that's BET, that's Black people as a whole, like me putting stock into people and artists and all these different people and celebrating them, not getting even a tenth of that back. But no, you're right. With Robin, I think it was different because Robin Thicke, when he got, well, you're going to go into his like resurgence and whatever. He was on BET all the time, and he was always on the BET shows, and he went to the award shows, and he performed. So, I mean, to be fair, he was celebrated, and he gave it back. So
he does finally hear a song on the radio. He cuts his hair, but his album would peak at 152, which, okay, it's a debut album. You know, they're not all going to be breakout stars. the label lost faith in him being able to sell albums. Plus, they didn't know how to market him. He does have kind of a soul vibe, but kind of pop. And who would they be marketing him towards? So it was back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
A fun fact about this album is that Paula Patton is naked on the cover, who was his on and off again girlfriend turned wife, now his ex-wife.
That's why. Yeah. She just your girlfriend at the time, and you got her to do that?
Yeah, I think you would know Paula from the movie Jumping the Broom. She was the main character, Sabrina Watson. And from the movie Precious, she was the teacher, Miss Blue Rain. And she has other roles as well, but when I looked at her filmography, those are the two that stood out to me.
Oh, she's showing up as naked.
Yeah, like you don't see anything, but...
Yeah, interesting.
So Robin and Paula would meet in 1991 at an all-age dance club when Paula was 15 and Robin was only 14. And Robin serenades Paula as they dance. And with you being a Stevie Wonder fan, would you want to guess what song he serenaded her?
My Sharia Moore? Knocks Me Off My Feet?
No.
Ribbon in the Sky. That girl.
He serenaded his half-black girlfriend. Whoa.
Oh. No.
At that time. Jungle Fever.
No. No, he didn't. No,
I don't know if that was a song playing and when he asked her to dance or if he was singing to a different song, but that's how it says that he serenaded.
Playing while they're dancing is different than you saying, "Hello, black girl. I got a song for you." Hey, how's little black girl? I got a song for you.
So they wouldn't officially start dating until 2 years later. And here's a little quote Robin said on the Howard Stern show. The funny thing is, in high school, she didn't take me to prom because she didn't want everyone to know she was with a white dude because she was president of the Black Student Union. I was a secret. She didn't want to show up with a white guy.
Fucking up my cred.
So throughout the years, they break up, they move away, they come back together, and, you know, they just keep finding each other. And they would marry in 2005. And
I want to say, no matter what age you are, I mean, I feel like it's a bad omen. If you don't want to be seen with your significant other at any stage of the relationship, I think that's a problem. No matter who it is or for whatever reason.
That is a problem, yes. If you're ashamed of them or hiding them for any reason. Yeah.
If you feel like you will not be looked at as the same or you feel like for whatever reason, please, you need to leave that person immediately because obviously they have some issues that have nothing to do with you but will become your issues later. And then you need to sort out your issues because obviously don't be with nobody if you feel like you can't be with nobody openly.
Yeah, I mean, they were very young, high school still.
But it happened. Okay. But no, you're right. Sometimes it's immaturity, but also sometimes it's like a sign to come.
Maybe. So funny enough, actress turned royal Meghan Markle did the calligraphy for their wedding invitations. That was like a little side hustle when she was up and coming.
How do we know this? She was the known, that's the calligraphy girl.
Yeah. She
acts as well and does deal and no deal. But she also does calligraphy.
I mean, maybe they knew each other from being actresses.
That's funny. I don't ever want my fun fact to be that in somebody's life.
I wouldn't mind it.
It's just a weird one to bring up. Like now she's a good friend and we've known her a long time. She did the calligraphy on those wedding invitations, though.
Beautiful handwriting. So after his album, I don't want to say fails, but that's how it's phrased by himself and others. Robin is a little lost. He says he's doing yoga and drinking and just trying to find what works. And in 2006, he finds it with the album, The Evolution of Robin Thicke. Gone is the long-haired, smelly-looking hippie on the bike from the first video. Now we got a clean cut, a little older, good-looking man, and it works for him. Pharrell Williams is an executive producer on the album, and it would debut at 45, but it would climb up to number 5 on the Billboard 100. And that's mainly due to the song Lost Without You. And that is about his wife, Paula. It would get to number 14 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and number 1 on the U.S. Adult R&B. And he was the first white male artist since George Michael in 1988 to get the number 1 R&B spot.
Ooh, I'm never gonna dance again.
So his following albums were Something Else in 2008, which debuted at number 3. Sex Therapy, The Session in 2009, which debuted at number 9. Side note, I love the song Shaking It for Daddy on this album. It has Nicki Minaj feature, and I love it, and love the David Letterman performance.
When you sit, I mean, it's like, I felt so many emotions. I felt like, first of all, if I was watching it at that time where it was famous, it's like, nothing is really wrong. But then when you watch it with 2024 lenses, you're just like, oh, y'all was trying to really perform. Like, Rob is in sync with Nicki's rap. He's
really, I love the dancing.
The choreography. Oh, Lord.
Beautiful. I think there's another one on, I want to say BET maybe, where they did a performance, and it's good as well, but it's not as great as the David Letterman one. Like, everyone needs to tune into that one.
Yeah, everybody should watch that. Even though I don't know why you like that song. I've never liked that song.
I like to shake it for daddy, and sometimes I like to shake it for me, you know?
You know what? That was the perfect response. I'm just gonna, honestly.
Another album was Love After War, which highest spot was 22. So it seems like with every release, he's falling a little bit more. Like, he got the high with the Lost Without You, but every album after that, it's a little bit lower.
Yeah.
At this time, before the blurred lines of it all, were you aware of Robin Thicke?
Yes, very much so. He wasn't lying. Maybe when he was talking about when I get you alone, he was really on BET. But when Lost Without You came out, he was really on BET. Like, that was the song for a while. It was on the R&B, I don't know how to describe this, the R&B, the old school R&B stations. He was on the hip hop stations. He was everywhere. Everybody loved that song. And then he was just, everybody looked at him, oh, it's a white boy, and made some people like him even more. So yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah, I knew Lost Without You, but I wasn't like connecting. It was Robin Thicke. Like, I didn't really care about his name. But yeah, that song was everywhere. Like, it was inescapable.
Yeah. To be fair, when Lost Without You first came out, that was when I was aware of Robin Thicke. I didn't get to his old stuff until I found out about him. So yeah, I was aware of him with the evolution of Robin Thicke, because also I got that CD like on bootleg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had so many bootleg CDs. Some people I knew, some people I didn't. So if I heard them and I liked them, I'd be like, oh, shit, we actually had a CD. I might have to listen to it.
So the myth of Icarus has always fascinated me. Ooh. It's probably my second favorite myth when it comes to Greek mythology. And to loosely explain it, it's Icarus's father makes Icarus wings out of bird feathers and wax, and he warns him to avoid the extremes. Flying too low, his wings would get wet and too heavy, making him fall to the sea. And flying too high would melt the wax. When Icarus takes off flying, he can't help himself and flies higher and higher towards the sun. And the wax does melt, making him plunge into the sea to his death. And the myth is usually used as a moral lesson against hubris, arrogance, or lack of moderation. And I believe that fits the story of Robin Thicke to a T.
Not even gonna lie, until you broke it down like that, I didn't even consider that. But yes, actually it does.
So now we are in the times of Blurred Lines, which was released on March 27, 2013. It had Robin Thicke, Pharrell Williams, and T.I.
Ty.
So immediately, some people are upset about the lyrics and the video, saying the song is pretty rapey. And the line, I know you want it, people are liking to what some rapists have said. You know, she wanted it. And then if you go further into the lyrics, people just dissect it like, you know, she's an animal, and that's not equating women as humans. The line, the way you grab me, must want to get nasty. It's, you know, she did this or acted this way, so she wanted to have sex. And the video, the men are fully clothed in suits, and the women are dressed more provocatively. And there are actually two versions of the video. There is the censored, which we've probably all seen. And then there's the uncensored one, which has the women topless and
titties.
I think there, I didn't watch the video in a while, but I think there was one, like, they have like an oversized syringe, like trying to go to the butt, like as a joke, and hugging animals.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
you know, I'm trash weird. Because the only thing I remember about the uncensored was the titties.
I remembered it too. I was like, looking this up again.
Interesting.
So in a GQ article, Robin had this to say about the video. "We tried to do everything that was taboo, bestiality, drug injections, and everything that was completely derogatory towards women." He goes on to say that they were the perfect men for the job since they were all happily married, and then continues, "What a pleasure it is to degrade a woman. I've never gotten to do that before. I've always respected women."
What the fuck? That's a real quote?
That's his quote in the GQ article.
Was he playing in the snow when he quoted that shit? What was that? First of all.
Yes, I believe he was.
I don't know about Pharrell, but definitely hilarious. We're all married men, two future Hall of Fame cheaters with T.I. and Robin Thicke. That's hilarious. Number two, what? There was no purpose in doing all that bullshit. We did everything that was derogatory to women, and you're listing them off with glee, but none of it served a true purpose in your song when the lyrics were already so vaguely misogynistic, derogatory already. Did you really need to dive in deep for that? And to celebrate it with, yay, I've never degraded a woman. No, first of all, that sounds so juvenile and stupid, and also sounds like you're trying to cover up for some crimes. Nobody knows how to degrade women more than somebody who's already degraded a woman.
Yeah, he really wanted to do that. I mean, don't knock it till you try it, I guess.
I really can't believe that's a real quote. I'm so, bruh. I'm just so happy I finally got to knock something off the bucket list, degrade a woman.
Who publicly doesn't just think about that? Yeah, publicly.
And for something that will always be seen forever and heard forever.
So Diane Martel, the director of the video, who also directed Miley Cyrus's We Can't Stop, didn't really agree when asked. She said, "That's crazy. Maybe he wasn't thinking when he said that." And Diane had told the women to act like they were untouchable and all the men wanted them, even telling them to tone down their sex appeal in the video.
I'm so sorry. Even her, she's like, what the fuck is this man thinking?
What is he saying? I love
it. Because what did that mean? Like, I don't know who's right.
So the song was banned by several universities for a bit. From what I saw, Robin has said as recently of 2021 that the song is just to make people dance and it's not about rape. And Pharrell would say in 2019 that he didn't get it at first, but he is embarrassed by the song. Here's a quote where he says, "And then I realized that there are men who use the same language when taking advantage of a woman. And it doesn't matter that that's not my behavior or the way I think about things. It just matters how it affects women." And I was like, got it. I did it. Cool.
See, now that's a bullshit response I can half-heartedly believe.
Yeah.
At least, because the thing is that, okay, Pharrell, you've been in this business for 20 plus years. You've said the most abominable lyrics before back in the day in the beginning of your career to whatever you've produced in Let Fly now. So to say that you just didn't understand or didn't understand what you were saying, I don't quite believe that. But to at least act scandalized by your dumbassery, not full-heartedly jump in and embrace it with no apologies and sound more stupid. At least condemn it a little bit. Sound contrite.
That was, you know, just a snippet from a larger quote where he was talking about more songs.
Maybe he's condemning some of the other dumbass ones.
Yeah, so I just want to say that. And there was times before where he was, like, defending it, but then this is where he's, like, turning the corner. So Emily, and I'm going to butcher this last name, Radzikowski?
The actress?
I know she's a model. She was in Blurred Lines music video.
Damn, I think it's the right one, but I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm sorry.
So she would allege years later in her book that while on the set of Blurred Lines, a drunk Robin Thicke cupped her breast from behind. Emily would move away from him, embarrassed. Another model would say that it was a closed set when it happened, so she didn't see. But Emily did leave abruptly, and there was a shift in tone after the incident. Diane, the director, said she witnessed this and yelled out, "What the fuck are you doing? That's it. The shoot is over." And it's alleged that Robin apologized later on set. From where I can see, Emily has not heard from Robin since sharing this incident, and Robin has not commented.
And we're all just married men hanging around.
She goes on to say, like, how she felt like she was just a hired mannequin. Like, these men can do whatever they want to her. And, like, it's really fucked up. Like, even if she's topless, that doesn't get...
It's, like, you it know, sucks you can't that just it didn't come her. Out. Yeah, it sucks that it didn't even come out until years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be, especially when you're so vulnerable like that, when you are topless, it should be, like, very professional. Everybody should know their boundaries and know what's acceptable and what's not. But unfortunately, people get these power surges and go on these power trips and think that they're on top of the world now because, you know, they have a little fame and that people know who they are and all this other stuff, and they just traumatize other people. It's fucked up. But also, it's just like there's been things that have come out about Robin throughout the year. So it sucks that it just comes out like late and sometimes gets buried with all the other shit. Unfortunately, yeah, it's not standing out as its own spotlight accident as every incident should. So you can further dig this man into the fucking ground so he does not come back up.
And I totally understand why Emily wouldn't, like, come out and say at the time, just because it was such a huge popular song. Like, why would you say that when it's helping boost your career? And if you come out with allegations like that, you know how this works. Yeah. It's going to hinder her career.
Yeah.
Because and then people are going to be like, she's difficult. What did you think? She's in a music video topless. You know, all the lines.
Yeah. And if this is the woman I'm thinking about, she only continued to get more famous and more popular. So, like you said, who knows what could have happened if she spoke out about this earlier. It sucks to even say that, but it's just one of those things that if we as a people and they as colleagues and coworkers continue to hide these things and not let these people pay for their crimes, they'll just keep on doing it and we won't hear about it until they're dead or no longer even in the spotlight, when it won't matter as much.
Yeah, and I think that's why she waited years later in her book, because then he's not as big as he was. Like, So to briefly talk about the lawsuit, just adding a little more context, in the deposition, Robin would say this about the writing of Blurred Lines. I was high on Vicodin and alcohol when I showed up to the studio. So my recollection is when we made this song, I thought I wanted to be more involved than I actually was. By the time 9 months later, it became a huge hit and I wanted credit. So I started to kind of convince myself that I was a little more part of it than I was, because I didn't want him. I wanted some credit for that big hit. But the reality is that Pharrell had the beat and he wrote almost every single part of the song.
I was not a part of this travesty.
Yeah.
Y'all are hilarious. Everybody's a songwriter until the court of law comes up.
Yeah. So I don't, at first when I saw his deposition, Robin Thicke's, I was like, I don't know how Pharrell would feel about this, because yes, he's getting credit that he's a songwriter, but then again, you're kind of throwing him under
the bus. He's getting the blame. Yes, as well. Honestly, to be fair, I do not care if what Robin said is true or not. You put your name on it, you lied, you got to deal with the consequences, buddy. I mean, I don't give a fuck if just because you lied back then and you're trying to tell the truth now, I should absolve you from the consequences of this lawsuit. No. You need to be honest. And when you're not honest, things like this tend to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Even if he's not the songwriter, it's still his song. Like, he should pay for, like, how they got a portion of the royalties and all that.
And this is what you get for being greedy, bitch.
So in Pharrell's deposition, he pretty much says the same thing, saying part of the business is sell songs, and sometimes artists embellish their part to make it seem like they were more involved. So saying pretty much the same thing. And little side note, I don't know why, but for years I've always jokingly called Pharrell Feral. So it's like so hard not to say that when I'm reading this.
Pharrell. He is Feral.
So I also think they wanted to separate Robin from the creation, because he said this in a GQ interview. Pharrell and I were in the studio and I told him that one of my favorite songs of all time was Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up. I was like, damn, we should make something like that. Something with that groove.
It's your fault.
Yeah, he's the one. He would later say that he only said that after people started comparing them. But He was saying that in a bunch of interviews.
Oh my God, Robin, have a brain. Lord, do something for you. He's I only did it because I just wanted some more money. I only said it because you guys were saying it. Come on, Thick. Get it through.
So Robin would say he was just trying to sell records and saying it after people pointed it out. And when asked why he lied during interviews, he said he had a drug and alcohol problem for a year and didn't do a sober interview in that time.
And then that also just gives more credence to whatever Emily said, because if you're in the throes of a drug and alcohol addiction, your morals and your ethics are nowhere near they would be if you were sober. So I have to believe that if other people were also saying that they were a witness to your bad behavior, you're saying that you weren't your best self and you weren't even sober, you probably were not being a good person.
Now, this fame has really... I feel like some people cannot handle
it. And
this is a very good example, because Robin Thicke just went crazy for a few years and almost lost everything. So while these depositions are going on in the background, Robin's marriage life is in shambles. He would later say that they were like 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks after their separation when he did this deposition. So he wasn't in like the right headspace. The first sign that we see of this is after the VMA performance with Miley Cyrus that you also covered in our Miley Cyrus episode.
I've been on Robin's head.
You have. You've been hinting around like we don't get him.
That was a terrible performance.
Yes. So these two would make an infamous performance where Miley has a giant foam finger and rubs it on his crotch and twerks. And a source close to the couple, Paula and Robin, would go to TMZ saying Paula was furious, claiming that Robin did not know ahead of time what was going to happen, but played along. And Paula felt disrespected and humiliated on national TV. Robin would tell Oprah in an interview talking about Miley's performance, "So I'm sitting there, I'm looking up in the sky, I'm singing, I'm not really paying attention to all that. That's on her." And Miley would tell the generous queen, Ellen DeGeneres, "He was in rehearsal as much as I was and loving it." Robin would later say in a Vanity Fair he knew beforehand, quote, "I just said, I don't care, let's entertain people, let's give them something they're not ready for, let's make them talk." So it does seem like at first Robin was trying to shift the blame on Miley to handle that backlash.
Everybody was putting everything on Miley.
Yes, and that's just such a scummy thing. Like, if you knew and you wanted her to act that way, like, why would you not just say in the beginning, it was fun? Just say it. Like, you agreed to it. You had rehearsals.
Miley heard that they was talking about, he was loving it. He loved it.
I think she even said, like, that's why she had that outfit on, was like, because it was kind of similar to the Blurred Lines outfit in the music video.
Fucking loved my chicken suit.
I do kind of feel bad that Miley said that she didn't show off her body for a while because of how much backlash she got from that outfit. But at the same time,
it had nothing to do with her body, bro. It had everything to do with that terrible I mean, at least as far as I saw it. Other people talking about her body, I thought that was stupid. But it was just a crazy ass plastic, rigid ass outfit, and I don't know, it looked crazy.
Yeah, it did look crazy.
But no, I would never try to body shame somebody.
Yeah. So after the VMAs, Robin would go to an after party where he was photographed with a fan, and they are standing in front of a mirror, and his hand is so far up her ass it looks like he's doing a ventriloquist routine. So
he was trying to get something to sniff later. That was crazy.
Yes. And I don't know. Like, why would you not know there's a mirror behind you? Why? Just because he's high and drunk. But still, like,
that's not funny. But
pay attention to your surroundings if you're going to be cheating on your wife.
Like, to be, that's what I just know. People are just so disgusting. They just smile in your face with a finger in their booty or somebody else's booty. Because he just innocently smiling, they smiling, and you just look at that mirror and you're just like, oh my gosh, she's getting her colon checked.
So 20-year-old Lana, the woman in the photo, said she regrets making out with him, but she'd love to grab a drink if he asked. She said this when it was announced the couple was separating. A year later, Lana would add to the story in a Star article saying not only did he grab her ass, but he took her to a side room and they had sex. They exited the room and run into Paula, where he introduces them. From what I saw, Lana has changed the story depending on which tabloid she's talking to. So
I don't believe that they ran into Paula. Here's the thing. I could believe that Robin Thicke would have some dirty backstage sex with a groupie. But I'm not going to think that he would risk it where Paula is nearby. Especially if she's changing it. Especially if you... Girl, I don't believe that. We would have heard that.
I think they did make out. That seems to be consistent. And Paula was at the party, but I don't think they had sex because she only says that once. You know, she doesn't seem like a reliable source. And not to say Robin's not a cheater, but I don't fully believe her story.
Yeah, I don't think he would do something so crazy where Paula is in the vicinity. So like, oh, if you did it, I don't think she's there. And you're right. If you're making out, I can see that, but I definitely don't see you running into Paula afterward. And Robin having the gumption to introduce you. Not with the way that he's backpedaling with performances. I don't think he's bold enough to introduce his hand butt girl to his wife.
Well, let's get into a little bit of his boldness. So in April of 2013, Paula claimed she witnessed Robin being inappropriate with a masseuse. And then he had the gall to get mad at Paula for interrupting his massage. And got so enraged, he broke down a locked door to get to Paula.
Where were they? So she was around while he was having a massage and he was being nasty.
She saw something she did not like. She tried to, and he's like, bitch, don't interrupt my massage.
And then he goes and tries to break down a door to get to her because she...
Assuming she ran.
That's crazy.
So they would go to marriage counseling where Robin admitted to Paula he had a drug and alcohol problem and it was affecting his behavior. During his tour, Paula alleges that during a phone call, she could hear Robin was having sex.
Yeah, you're doing too much. I wouldn't have cared if you did an album for me either. I would have had to kill you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not. Okay, never mind. I wouldn't have killed you. I would have ran over your foot.
I love in our episodes every time I have to like cut out a death threat when you get carried away a little.
Because here, I am not the sanest woman on the planet. I'm not. But I just never see the purpose in being cruel to somebody who's not been cruel to you, who's not done anything on the level that you were even on. I just could never understand, especially when there's loyalty, love, and trust and respect involved.
The amount of disrespect from that scumbag is astounding.
And that's why it's just like such a like disgusting. That's why I was disgusted by the way he went about trying to save his marriage, because I knew only a portion of this. But to hear some of this other stuff, I'm glad she's free.
I am too. She actually said recently that she feels so free.
Thank you, PP. Paula Patton.
After his 2013 tour, he would brag to her that he had unprotected sex with 7 other women. Around this time, Paula alleges that after they went to a Cannes Film Festival, they got into a fight where Robin punched her with a closed fist on her upper body and pushed her to the ground. Paula would allege that she found her husband in bed with 2 naked women shortly after the VMAs, and this was her breaking point. They would announce their divorce February 24th, 2014.
The least you can do, because his ass should have been in a cell.
Yes.
That's disgusting. You get into the thick of these problems, huh? No pun intended. You get into, I really didn't mean to, but I felt like I had to acknowledge it. But you get into deep with these problems, and I get it. You need help, but when you don't need help to drown other people, to hurt other people is just so selfish, especially knowingly. As far as we know, nothing is wrong with his mind. It's an addiction with drugs and alcohol, so he does need help. But there's nothing wrong with your mind. You're being a terrible person to the woman who's been in your life and held you down for so long. The woman who you decided after years and years and years of being with to have a child with. This is the woman that you're mistreating, and this is the example that you're setting for your son.
I think the biggest addiction might have been fame, just because
with Blurred fame Lines, came all the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Blurred Lines came out in March 26, 2013, and they would announce their divorce February 24th, 2014. So very fast. I'm not saying they probably had a perfect marriage before that, but it was definitely like 100 times worse after his fame.
Yeah. But the thing is that it gradually got like, he was famous-ish. And then he got more and more and more famous. But when it hit the pinnacle of that, like international, like that song was everywhere. He was getting to tour everywhere. It's like, well, I don't know. Because to be fair, we don't know when this began. I don't know if it was such a short span of him like getting crazy and escalating, or was it like a general, I mean, not a general, what's that word? What's the word? Gradual.
Yeah.
So now I take back whatever I was going to say. But either way, it's just, the fame opened the gates to everything else.
And if you kind of look at her filmography, Paula's, like, when she was more in her prime of her acting and stuff, he was lower. And then it kind of switches where he's more popular and she's not as popular.
I did notice that, because I wasn't even a big Paula Patton fan, but she was in some like big movies, and then you kind of didn't see her as much. But Paula was still a decent actor, and she was she was still very pretty. So it was like, why isn't she acting?
Yeah,
she's scary. Family.
On July 1st, 2014, Robin Thicke would release an album called Paula, pretty much trying to win her back, crying on stage, pleading her to come back during performances. He says this about his BET performance: "I came home to my best friend of 20 years who said, 'I saw your BET performance.' I said, 'Oh yeah, what do you think?' You know, excited. And he goes, 'I gotta be honest with you, buddy. You're kind of playing yourself. You look like a sucker.' And it hit me that I lost perspective. What I thought was romantic was just embarrassing."
And who told him this?
His best friend. You need a best friend to tell you that.
I gotta tell you, that shit was weak. I'm glad, because it was terrible. He's like, "Paula, baby, please come home." And then he goes into a song. I don't ever want to hear an intro to a song like that. Paula, please come home.
Which is how the general public took these proclamations of love as well, because by this time there were murmurs of him being unfaithful. And Robin would later say that he was trying to sell the idea of getting back together, but he didn't actually work on getting back together.
Yeah, you just made the album, but you didn't go to marriage counseling or actually talk to your wife. you just sat in the studio and made Paula, but you didn't talk to Paula.
So Paula claimed she was afraid to leave Robin because she was afraid to anger him, and he had threatened to leave them penniless because he had a lot of tax liens.
And you don't pay your taxes.
Something else that was a major breaking point alleged by Paula, besides the infidelity and the physical violence, was how he was acting towards their son, who was born in 2010. So around this time, he's 3 or 4 years old. On one instance, when Robin was supposed to be watching Julian, their son, he began screaming he wanted to fucking sleep, and who do you fucking think you are not letting me sleep? Another incident, Julian asked for a hug before bed, and instead, Robin spanks him. Child service investigation was opened because allegedly Julian told a school official that his dad spanked him too hard and claimed that Robin was punching him, which Robin has denied.
But do you know how hard you're hitting somebody or a child for the child to describe it as punching?
Yes.
You're denying it, but I'm inclined to think that a child knows the difference between smacking and punching, but I'm just saying.
Or even if he's saying, "My dad is spanking me too hard," even if you're just spanking him.
Yeah.
So all this came out during a custody battle and it got ugly. One nanny claims she never witnessed Robin give excessive spanking and that Paula got mad at her when she refused to testify against Robin. Another nanny sided with Paula, saying she saw Robin smoke marijuana around Julian and that Julian was upset to be left alone with his dad. When Alan Thicke, Robin's father, died December 2016, Paula and her family were not allowed to attend. Robin says that Paula and Alan did not have a good relationship and would make negative comments to him about his father, and she had residual anger, and that was the cause of the custody battle. Robin also claims the only reason Paula would want to go to the funeral was to get additional public exposure.
I mean, did Robin go with his son?
I believe so, yes. But Paula was not allowed to.
It could be, I mean, who knows, honestly. They both could be right. Like, it could be what he's saying about her. Maybe they don't like each other and she just wants to be seen. Or he's projecting what he's doing, which is people are going to be asking if Paula's going to be at the funeral and I'm not letting her ass come to this goddamn funeral.
Yeah.
So honestly, who cares? I'm not showing up to my, I know people do that whole, well, we're on good terms and we support each other and we had a good relationship. But if we're exes, I'm not showing up to your parents' funeral. I have to really, I have to really like them. And I mean, if I really together, didn't like them, I'm not going to be there. But you were going to say they've been together. They were together so long.
Yeah. Like 20-ish years or something. So.
Yeah. It is kind of weird that, yeah, the person that, I don't know. I'm not going though. But
who knows? So it would get oddly, like, Paula would get a temporary restraining order against Robin. And, you know, just going back and forth of allegations, she said that Robin was trying to bribe the social worker by taking them to a fancy restaurant, but the social worker had to go because he had to have supervised visitations for a bit. But they do reach a custody agreement when Julie was 7, so a four-ish year custody battle. And Robin and Paula would go to co-parenting couples therapy and seem to be in a better co-parenting place now. Another little side info, Robin and his brother did get into a battle with Ellen's third wife of her inheritance. She had a prenup and they tried to sue her for challenging her prenup. But she claims she never challenged it, but just wanted what was owed to her, saying they were using the lawsuit to smear her in the media. The Thick brothers would accuse her of trying to smear them in the media. And they would fight over expenses, but it would eventually all get settled. And that was pretty much all that for that lawsuit.
Interesting.
In 2018, he would lose his home to a wildfire, which he had such a high. And then it's all this bad stuff. He loses his wife, child service investigation, the lawsuit.
But a lot of this is house his own doing.
Yeah, a lot of it is. But like the dad died in a house fire.
House, but maybe somebody in the world saw fit that man didn't have a roof over his head. And that's also why I said, ooh, if I'm buying a house, it's never going to be in any of these places where these fires be starting. I'm scared as hell. Even if I get some insurance, I can't. I ain't doing it. I'm renting forever in California.
So Robin is not as high as he once was, and I don't think he ever will be. He became a judge on The Masked Singer in 2019. Are you a Masked Singer fan?
Hell no.
Almost
every place I go where I work, some people are into the damn mask. They don't never be into the shit I'm into, but they into some shit like The Masked Singer. Ugh, pisses me off.
I watched one season, but I like to know who it is. Like, I did the whole premise is like, you don't know who it is, but I like watching it when I already know who it is. So I never kept up with it.
Yeah, me neither. I'll see the clips occasionally where it's like, who do you think this is? Or can't y'all not tell who this is? And then I'll listen to it. I'm like, oh yeah, I know who the fuck that is. That's the only interesting part. But unfortunately, that only lasts 5 seconds for me. And then I'm over it.
Yeah. Something that also pissed me off about that show is they just say the stupidest suggestions sometimes. And I get like, they don't want to give it away too soon. But the judges are like, I'm like, come on. I think one time they said Obama. And I'm like, you're a fucking moron. Obama's not doing this show.
He's not. Not for 3 more years.
Maybe, yeah. So he has released another album in 2021 called On Earth and in Heaven, which didn't get a lot of buzz and got lukewarm reviews. I think the fame ate him up. The fame, the drugs, the woman, and it almost cost him everything. But right now, I think like he can coast as he is.
Yeah, he'll be able to coast on his hits and his fame. I mean, honestly, knowing his specialty and his set of skills, Robin could get back on top by being like the singing guy feature in a nice hip hop song or R&B duet with another like mildly famous good singing woman in R&B. Like, he has the potential to get popular again. Will he get to that level ever? No, but I think if he were to play his cards right and network right or whatever, he'll probably be fine. As far as solo work, nah, I don't think he'll ever be like popping again.
Yeah, I honestly hope he doesn't get super famous again, because I just don't think it's like good for him.
Yeah, obviously he can't 100% handle it. And it seems like he's kind of rebuilt his life semi well. Like he dropped his family, got another one.
Very fast afterwards, has a bunch of more children, and she's a lot younger.
Exactly.
I think she was 21 when they got married.
It's one of those things where it's like, I have speculations, but I ain't heard nothing, so I'm gonna leave y'all alone.
But that is our episode covering Robin Thicke. Do you have anything else to add about Robin Thicke and how fame almost destroyed him?
No, not really. I mean, getting to know Robin Thicke when I got to know him, I wouldn't have thought his career would have turned out like that. I don't know what I would have expected, but I don't think I would have thought he would have crashed and burned.
No.
But the most important thing is that he had people who eventually got in his ear and told him to shape the fuck up and got him some help. So at least that, but still does not excuse the horrendous shit he did to Paula or the other people around him, honestly. And I don't think it's cool that he refuses to acknowledge some of those things, but he'll have to deal with that on his own and his own time.
The worst thing is his son, if he was being physically violent with him,
yeah,
like abusing him. But hopefully he learned from that, because they seem to be working it out now.
And you decided to have like 2-3 more kids. So I really hope you learned from that to be a decent and patient parent.
Definitely. And you're impatient and you have a nanny. Like, how impatient can you be? Like, you're just mad because the child's loud?
Yeah, it's a side note. That's why I'm like, that's why I fucking hate when people are sensitive about being asked, are you sure about parenthood? Are you okay with having a child? Y'all are not mature. Y'all are not patient. Y'all are not financially stable. Y'all aren't even emotionally stable. And y'all got the gall to be mad at me because I asked you for 5 seconds if you were okay with bringing human life in and caring for it, no matter the consequences, no matter what happens to this child, no matter what happens to you. Oh, that's why being a parent is entirely a selfish decision. And so if you're going to make the selfish decision, please make sure that you are okay as a person and that you are stable enough as a person to support this person when they come out. If you can't handle having a child that's disabled, having a child who is different, having a child who does not think the same way as you, then don't have a fucking child. Get you a goddamn pet. Get you a doll. Anyway. Oof,
get a plant.
I've seen some parents out here lately that like are treating their children as accessories, and it just drives me wild. And that, oh, she's gonna be just like me, or she thinks just like me, or refusing, like when children tell you their thoughts, they decide to say, no, don't think like that, or no, don't do that. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, and y'all call yourselves good parents, but that's a totally different tangent. This has something going on I saw in public.
We set something off in you.
Just a little tiny bit.
So we do like to end every episode on a positive note with some form of media we want to recommend, explore, discuss, critique. Should you go first or should I go first?
I'll go first because mine's easy, honestly. I didn't have one until you brought up who we were talking about. So I decided to, I guess, I don't want to say that word. Uplift him a slight bit. So my media is the song Dream World by Robin Thicke. It's just so funny that this is my song. And if you listen to the song, it's literally his dream world, because it wasn't his reality, because he did not treat his people like this, nor I don't think he really thought like this. But it's just basically the song of Robin saying he wished the world was this way and not that way. We were more accepting. If people would just love, if he could just be rich, if everything would be fine, blah, 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 blah. That's his dream world, whatever, whatever. It's a nice, interesting song. I'm only speeding past through because now that I've learned Robin was officially full of shit, I don't even want to give him any uplifting. So, yeah, Robin Thicke, Dream World is a good song. It's if I had to listen to any Robin Thicke song over and over again, it'd probably be that one. Second would be The Sweetest Love. That's a good song, too. Lost Without You just got overplayed so much that I can't even listen to it if I really wanted to.
I totally forgot about that song, so I have been listening to it a lot this week. You know, getting familiar with Robin again.
Yeah. I mean, that's the main song you would play if you were trying to get re-familiar with him, besides Blurred Lines.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. But yeah, check it out. Tell me if you think it's a contradiction to who he really is.
I was listening to, like, I just had his artist profile on Spotify, and I realized I do like a lot of his songs.
Really?
Yeah, like, just not like actively listening, but like just having it in the background, like, oh, this is a good song.
Yeah, I mean, I can't deny the man had, I won't say had because I haven't listened to his new stuff. You know, some people end up losing it, but he had a great voice.
We're good media. Do you have anything else to add about Mr. Robin Thicke?
Paula Patton, I hope you're doing good out there, girl.
Maybe it's just because how much of a douche he was to her, but I was like, where is Paula? Because I did love her in Jumping the Broom and in Precious.
I did as well. I watched both of those films. Don't get me started on Precious. But yeah, she's a great actress. She's very, like, that's what I'm saying. She was like, she was a part of that Zoe Saldana, Tandy Newton type of group of women. The mixed race, beautiful women. I don't know, Zoe. I forgot with her and the whole Nina Simone. Just throw me off. I don't know. it's confusing the fuck out of me right now. But she was a part of that, like, elk of women who were, like, really pretty but really great actors. And then she kind of just dropped off.
Yeah. Let's get her back.
Yeah, put her back in some movies.
I feel responsible for rejuvenating Lindsay Lohan's career. So let's do another one for Paula.
Come on, put another one on your back.
Just watch. She's going to have a resurgence after this.
Oh, look at you. You got LL, now you got PP. Keep going.
I love an alliteration. So my media is kind of a story time, but it goes back to a media.
Okay.
So something that I've been doing throughout the years is like collecting books that I read as a kid or early teens, just trying to get those books again. I wanted to do a podcast about it, but I don't have enough time. And, you know, it like really helps me once I'm, a lot of the times I think of memories through books. So if I think of a book, it helps me remember things like, oh, when I was reading this, this happened or this happened or that happened. Mm-hmm. So I added a book to my list and then it just reminded me of the time my family briefly moved to the ghetto. And we moved to this big old haunted house. And my mom refused to be in it because she was, like, scared of the ghost or whatever. Which I always forget that we lived there and we were, like, all scared to be there besides my brother. But in school, there was a teacher next to my class. And I was in sixth grade. When we would go to the restroom, he would take the boys and my teacher, who was a woman, would take the girls. And sometimes we would go to his class and his kids would come to our class. It was very weird, but for some reason I was always a smart ass to him, and that was like our relationship, like just joking around, playing around, joking around. And I remember one time he was a really bad reader when he would like read out in class, and I like made a joke about it, and like he got really offended. And
probably couldn't read that good.
No, he could not read good, and that was like what the joke was. And he was like always like, because I was smart, like trying to put me down for being smart, but at the same time joking around with it. And I don't know. But one time when we went to the restroom, he asked me, where was this boy at? And I said, I don't know. And he said, where was he in class? I said, I don't know. And he said, how don't you know? And I said, because I'm there to do my work, not pay attention to who's in class. And everyone in line laughed and ha 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 ha. And then he walked up to me, the teacher, and like pinched my arm really hard and said, what do you do? Tell your mom. And I didn't You know, I had a big ass bruise after that, and I didn't remember it until I was like thinking about this. I'm like, that was really weird that he did that. But after that,
but you didn't tell your mama.
No, I never told anyone. I just remembered it.
Why do we do that? I have stories like that too. That's fucking crazy.
After that, I don't remember if he got me a library book or if he bought the book for me or if I was reading it and he saw and said that he was going to read it too. But it was a book called Tiger by Jeff Stone. And I remember he was like, I just remember us discussing it. But then my brother and sister got in trouble. So we had to like leave really fast from that school. So I never got to finish the book.
Lord Jesus, that's a fucking story. But that didn't even end how I thought it was going to end. That story, Lord, I need therapy after that story. Don't let me find that fucking teacher.
I was trying to think of his name, and I can't remember it for the life of me. And I don't know, I just thought that's really weird. Like, why would you pinch a sixth grader, like, hard, and, you know, like, on the upper arm, like, so, where your arm fat is? Like, I just remember it was, like, really crazy. Bruised. And I remember, like, not really show my mom.
He should have been in jail. You don't need to be no teacher. You can.
Yeah.
Not you got owned by a student so hard, you felt the need to respond with physical assault to the child.
Yeah. When I was younger, I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought it was, like, weird. But at the same time, I knew not to tell my mom. But I don't know. It was, like, really weird.
Like, I don't think I've told this story, but it's like those stories of like adults in your life who are supposed to be in charge of you and just taking advantage. I remember going on like this daycare trip to City Market, and I told my mother the day before. Now we were poor, very poor. So field trips and stuff like that, I was expected to like just go along. If I wanted something, if it wasn't free, I just couldn't get it. But for some reason or another, my mother was able to give me like $10 for the City Market thing. And at the time, I had an adult that I thought I could trust who acted like she was very kind and sweet to me and would give me her daughter's hand-me-downs and things like that. So I thought I could trust her. And I didn't have pockets. So I gave the $10 to this woman. So we get to City Market. And they're like, okay, so we had done all the fun stuff. We looked at all the buildings and we did all this other stuff. But City Market is where we're going to eat. So we got there and they were like, okay, everybody go get your money and go pay for whatever you want. Everything's at City Market at this time. This is the early 2000s. So I'm like, oh, I got it. I go to old girl. I'm like, hey, you know, my money, the woman. And I never told my mother, which I still don't know why. The woman hands me a $5 bill and points out another girl who doesn't have any money and says, you two go find something for $5 that y'all can split. Sends me and this girl down with $5 and we split the smallest burgers you had ever seen. We couldn't get a full meal. We couldn't even get a drink.
Oh, I did that.
It was just stuff like that where it's like, what was the purpose of taking that
$5
child's money?
Yeah.
And what was the purpose of not helping out that kid for real? You being the adult in the situation and making that, no offense, my problem.
That is.
Yeah, but stuff like that. Ugh, adults are annoying.
They are. But back to the book Tiger by Jeff Stone. I don't know how I feel about it because I was looking up the author and I believe he's Caucasian. He's white. And if I'm remembering correctly, the book is about like Kung Fu and like Asians, and I don't know. I always feel weird about like learning about a different culture from a white person or someone that's not in that culture. Let's say that better.
But okay, to be fair, this would be a time to revisit that to see if those claims hold up well.
Yeah, that's true. But sometimes I think, am I overthinking it? And I'm like, well, we should be able to tell our own stories.
Yes and no. I think that people should be able to tell their own stories, but I also think some people think that they have the ability to tell others without doing the actual research.
And it becomes like stereotypes.
Yes. And then it becomes just regular whitewash trash.
Yeah. So see, that's why my podcast would be such a good thing if I had the time for it, because I could explore all that. But
We need more, more hours in the day. We need you to hit the lottery, honestly, so you could do this.
I remember when Bill Cosby was released from prison. I'm like, I got called off work. I'm like, wait, why? Why did I need to call off?
I gotta tell the people, I have to warn them, I have to show.
I was like, what am I gonna do going off?
That's hilarious.
But yeah, once we make it big. But I think that's it. We got a little therapy hour. We got our medias. We got Robin Thicke.
You really helped me out. You let me express myself, and I appreciate that.
We explored some things.
I got a lot to talk in the therapy session.
Which is so funny, because remember when we started this podcast, it was always like your childhood memories.
Yeah, I was going through some trauma. I had to sort some shit out.
And then you're like, what is my song this week? Which I love. Not to
I'm, get, I'm getting better. I'm only doing new traumas.
But thank you guys so much for listening. Let us know what you think about Robin Thicke. Is this any surprising to you? Because I feel like we all know about the lawsuit, but not more about the personal details.
Mm-hmm. Also, what name would you have given Robin Thicke to start his career? Because Thicke was not it.
Thicke was not it. That was a good one. Thicke was not it. If you want to reach out to us, our email is saveyoursorry@gmail.com. You can send your media or send your suggestions or send your opinions. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram is saveyoursorry, spelled just like the podcast. Please leave us a rating. Please leave us a review. And thank you guys so much for listening. If you made it here, you guys are amazing. Thanks so much. It's been wonderful. Bye.
Bye.